Begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Ches. Begin in the top line of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing this concept of Nafal HaBayis HaLav and on somebody else. We're discussing the laws of someone that passed away. Specifically, like in the previous Mishnah, these thread of Mishnahis discuss what's the halacha if we don't know who died first. There were two people in a house which collapsed, and they both died. What's the halacha regarding who inherits the money that was there? As the Mishnah explains. Nafala bayis alav baal ishtay. If a house collapsed on a couple, on him, the man who is the protagonist, the main person that we're discussing, and on his wife. And moreover, this woman did not have any sons from this man. So what's the halacha? There's a debate. Yoshe habal oimrim, the inheritors of the husband, whether it be this man's father or his brothers or his sons from a different woman, they're saying, at least that's what they want to claim, Isha Mesa Rishon, V'achikach Mesa Baal. The woman, the wife died first, and then the husband passed away. So therefore that means to say that the inheritors of the woman, of her family, don't inherit anything from the assets that she had, because her husband died after her. And therefore the moment that his wife died, the husband inherited her, and then a few minutes later when he passed away, it was his money, and therefore his inheritance is inherited. Whereas Yerusha Isha Imrim, the inheritors of the woman, they say, meaning her relatives from her father's side, which is, inheritance is always paternal, but it's her relatives. She doesn't have any sons, but she has relatives. They say, Baal Meis Rishon, V'achkach Meis Rishon. No, the husband died first, and then the wife passed away. So although she doesn't inherit him, but he didn't inherit her, and therefore they get it. So what's the halacha? So this is machlekes in our Mishnah. Beishamei Oimim Yachleku. Beishamei say that they divide it. Now, the reason for this is because this is Mamun Hamut B'Safik, which is Chalkin. Whenever you have money that's in doubt, we don't know. If she died first, then yes, the Yerusha Baal would get it. If he died first, no, the Yerusha Isha would get it. So we don't know, so they split it. Now, actually, there are those who in Masechta Yevamos and Perek HaChelitz and Daf Lamed Ches Amudbeis explain that Beishamei was not disagreeing regarding the Ksuba, rather regarding everything else. But actually, regarding the Ksuba, the Halacha would be different. But regarding everything else, that's where he says Yachleku. But Basil say, Nechasim b'cheskasim. The possessions remain in their presumptive state, which the Gemara actually will explain. So who was the money and whose chazaka was it? Now, but therefore, because the Gemara is going to explain that what does it mean when it says Nechasim b'cheskasim, obviously that it's not going on the next words that the Mishnah says, which could be read as if it's explaining what does it mean Nechasim b'cheskasim. Rather, as the Rashbam says, the Girsa has to be and Kesuba, which is a different halacha, her dowry, is Becheskes Yerushi Habal, is in the presumptive state of the inheritors of the husband. So therefore, actually, the first statement of Nechasim Mecheskasim that Basil talks about is actually talking about something else, talking about what's called Nichzei Tzern Barzel, which that those are possessions that she brought into the marriage from her father's household, which were valued in the Ksuba, and the husband takes responsibility for anything, which is if it goes down in price, it's his loss, if it goes up in price, it's his gain. So Nichzei Tzern Barzel, which literally means to say the possessions of the iron sheep, which is part of the dowry that she brings into the marriage and is written in the Ksuba, there are other parts also, which is the 100 or 200 that's automatic for a Basul or Amana written in the Ksuba. Then there's additions that he wants to add on, that he wants to put into the dowry. And then there's the Nichsi Milug, her Nichsi Milug, which are possessions that she owns and the husband just gets to have the utility, what's called eat the payers. So that the Mishnah is saying that the Ksuba itself, the dowry, is in the Chazaka, who gets to take it, are the inheritors of the husband, which that refers to the 100 or the 200, and the additions which the husband, as a chasen, adds on to the ksuba. The reason for that is because the ksuba is the woman's collection of her husband's money when she gets divorced or widowed. So therefore, since up until now it was the husband's money, out of doubt, we're not going to say to remove it from the chazaka of the husband and from his inheritors, and therefore, since we don't know who died first, his inheritors will get it. And regarding the possessions that come in and out with her, which refer to the Nichsei Milug, which she got from her father's household, and he has no responsibility, the husband, and therefore it's stuff that she comes and goes in and out with, because it's always hers, that's Becheskes Yerusha'av, that remains in the Chazaka of the inheritors of the father, meaning since it came from her father, therefore up until that we know that it's not hers anymore, that it was the husband's, it retains the Chazaka by her. So Beishamei says, you split it. Sil says, well, depends what. Nechzit Tzern Barzel retains its chazaka, which the Gemara is going to explain, okay, who is the muchzik on that. regarding the ksuba, the husband is the muhsik because it's him who has to pay it out, which is his yarshim. And regarding nichsei milug, which is always in her possession, her yarshim, what's called nichsei becheskes yarshei av, they retain their chazaka. Now, as the Gemara continues on the Beis, the Gemara asked a question that we were alluding to. This that Beis Hillel said in one of his three items he spoke about. He spoke about nechasim becheskasim. He spoke about nichsei milug, and he spoke about the ksuba. So, regarding when he said nechasim becheskasim, mecheskes mi, in whose chazaka, who is the presumptive owner of that? That we're saying that those yerushim will get it regarding these nechasim. So, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, becheskes yerushi habal. It's in the chazaka of the inheritors of the husband. Why is that? Because as we explained, regarding nichsei term barzel, if the price goes down, it's his loss. Meaning when he divorces or his wife gets widowed, he has to give her back exactly how much it was worth when they got married. If it goes up, it's his gain. And moreover, the nichsei term barzel is almost like considered his during the marriage, that if he wants, he could sell it. So therefore, it's not comparable to nichsei milug. It's not like hers. In the sense, it's almost like his. And since it's his, he's the muhsik. And when they pass away, and we don't know whose it was at the time of their death, his yerushim will get it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, he disagrees. He says, no, becheskes yerushei isha. It's in the chazaka of the inheritors of the woman. And that's because, just like he says in the ksuba, that he hanolas le mebeis aviyah. Nichsei term barzel is what she's bringing into the marriage. It's her possessions. And when they get divorced, he has to give her back that value. So though that if it goes up or down, it's his gain or loss. But ultimately, it's the ownership of the woman, and she brought it in, and therefore it's her inheritors who get it in this case of debt. Now, Reb Shimon Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara, he says actually something in the middle. He says Yachloiku. He says he actually divided this nechasim between the Yerusha Baal and the Yerusha Av, as the Gemara is going to explain, because both of them are coming to inherit the whole thing. Meaning, since they're both coming to inherit the whole thing, you split it because both of them have a legitimate claim. As we said, the Yerushei Ha'isha is because he and Nolos L'Mbris Aviyah, it was coming from her family's assets, which she brought into the marriage. But on the other hand, since the husband accepts responsibility and liability, and he insures it, so on that level he's acquired it, and it's like his own money. So therefore, since they both have a legitimate claim, they're going to split it. And this that Beis Hillel said, the nechasim are becheskasin, it means in the chazaka of both of them. Because both of them have a valid claim to it, which is a chazaka, and therefore they're going to split it. As the Gemara concludes, v'chein toni b'akapara, sotu b'akapara, tora b'raisa, ha'ev ha'lolu bo'in leirish, ha'lolu bo'in leirish, since they're both coming to inherit, and they both have legitimate claims, so yechloiku, that's the nechasim becheskasin, they both divide it. So it comes out according to that interpretation, according to Beis Hillel, so the ksuba is becheskes yerushei ha'baal, because it was his money up until now. Nechsei milug, which is the woman's own stuff that she owns, and the husband just gets to use it, but he doesn't own it on any level, her yershim get that. And regarding the nechsei tzem barzel, according to this interpretation, is we had one that said yershim abal, one said yershim isha, according to Rish Lakish, and this price of bar kapara, it's going to be divided between the two of them. Now the Gemara continues with the next mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this thread, discussing nafal, habayis alav, if the house collapsed on him and he died, va'al imoy. And this story is talking about that he was together in the house with his mother. So for example, if let's say the house fell on Rachel, who is the wife of Yaakov, who was widowed from Yaakov, and it fell on her son Yosef, which she had from her husband Yaakov. Now moreover, she didn't have any other sons from Yaakov or from any other man. Where now, the Yerushim of both Yosef and Rachel are the same. Because the inheritors of the mother, for example, let's say her paternal brother, which we call Lavan, they say, that the son, Yosef, died first, and her, Rachel, died afterwards, and therefore they're coming to inherit all her possessions. Whereas the inheritors of the son, for example, Reuven, the son of Yaakov, who Yaakov had from a different wife, Leah, he's claiming that he gets all the possessions. Why? Because he says that Rachel died first, and then Yosef inherited all her possessions, and then Yosef died afterwards. Now his paternal brother Reuven goes to inherit all the possessions. So that would be the claim between these two parties, who we don't know what happened. So on that says the Mishnah, Elu v'Elu, in this case, unlike the previous Mishnah, which we had a Machlekes B'Sham Mishil, here both B'Sham Mishil would be Maiden, they would agree, Sheyach Leiku, that they would divide this Lavan and Reuven would divide these possessions of Rachel. Now the reason for that is because both of them are coming from the same legitimate claim of the inheriting of the possessions, which the woman was muhsik in it by herself when she was a widow without a husband. As Rashbam goes into detail to show why this is different than the previous Mishnayos, which had different halachas. You can't compare this to the case of when Nafal Abayis Alav Al Aviv, which we had previously, when it falls on him and on his father, the previous staff, which they're coming from different claims, that the inheritors of the father are coming Mikayach Hirusha, whereas the Balei Chayvus and the Ksubas Isha are coming from a claim of a Shtar Chayv. Different claims. So to the previous Mishnah regarding when this Nafal Abayis Alav Al Ishta, if the house fell on him and on his wife. So there, as we explained, there are certain possessions that the husband is muhzik in, like we said, the ksuba. Then there are certain possessions that the woman's more muhzik in, which as we said, in the Nechsei Melug, which retains in the chazaka of her father's household. So therefore there's different halachas. But here says Rashbam, here old Nechasim, this woman was muhzik in it, and she acquired it after her husband had passed away, and her husband had no more rights once he passed away. So since both Reuben and Lavan, meaning the brother of Yosef and the brother of Rachel, are coming to claim both from the same chazaka of Yerusha, and each one is claiming that they get all the possessions, so there's a case of Safik v'Safik. We don't know. No one is more muchzik than the other. They're both coming from the claim of Yerusha. That's why you're going to divide it. Now that's why, says Rashbam, actually, you can only explain the case the way he did if Rachel didn't have any other children. But if she would have had another son, for example, if let's say she would have had, this Rachel would have had two sons, this Yosef who she had from Yaakov, and let's say she would have Binyamin from a different man, from a different husband, who would be Yosef's maternal brother, meaning that they share the same mother. Now, Reuben, the son of Yaakov, from a different wife, Leah, would say that Rachel died first, and then Yosef inherited half of her possessions, and you, Binyamin, the other half. And then afterwards, Yosef passed away. Therefore, I'm inheriting his part because paternal brothers inherit their brothers, not maternal brothers. And Binyamin's saying, no, Yosef died first. And then my mother passed away, and I inherited all her possessions. Where in that case, says Rashbam, that Reuben would not get anything in that case. Because since Binyamin would be a definite Yerush in at least part of it, even Reuben's agreeing he's getting half, and Reuben would be a doubtful, because depending on who died first, if Reuben gets even half, in that case we would say, Ein Safik Meitzim Devadei, a doubtful inheritor would not remove from a definite inheritor. The reason is because we're, as we said, if both of them are coming from Yikayach Rusha, and they both know to claim what they're coming, what's their rights to inherit, and each one is claiming they get all the possessions, that's where we're saying in our Mishnah that they divided, because that's what's called Safik V'Safik, they're both doubtful, and they divided, like in the case of the Mishnah, whereas Nafal Abayis Alav Al Imoy, and Rachel did not have any other son, only this son that was the one that passed away with her, just we're not sure who went first and who went second. Now, where it is that one person, however, is claiming the whole thing, and someone's claiming only half of it, in that case, you would call the one who's claiming the whole thing a definite Yerush. The other one who's claiming only part of it would be considered a Safik. And then that, says Rashbam, we would say, Ein Safik Meitzim Nevadi, because wherever you have that one person is inheriting part of it, and meaning for sure part of it, and the other one is doubtful if he even has any part of it or not, the one who's definite gets everything, and therefore the halacha, the Mishnah, when it says Nafal Abayis Alav Al Imoy, where we say Yachleiku, that could only be explained, as we said, if the mother does not have any other son besides this son who also passed away, where then the claims of both parties to inherit them are the same, where the inheritors of the mother are claiming all the possessions, and the inheritors of the son are claiming all the possessions, where that's Safik V'Safik, and then they split it, which, similar to the concept that we had in Perka Chaylitz, when you have the grandfather and the Yavam regarding the possessions of this doubtful child who we're not sure if it's from the first husband or from the second husband, or when you have the grandfather and the doubtful and the Nechse Yavam, where then we said they're both Safik and they're divided. But if, let's say, this Rachel would have had another son, he would get all the possessions because he would be a Vadai in at least part of it, and the Yershe HaBen would be a Safik, and on that we say, Ein Safik Meitzim Nevadai. So that's the case that we're describing over here in the Mishnah, that we say Yachleiku is because both of them are Safik. However, Rabbi Kiva says, and because the Tanakhama used the terminology of Maidim, because he was coming to say that although in the previous Mishnah, Bisham Bessel disagreed, here they agree. On that, says Rabbi Kiva, no, that actually Maida Ani, I admit, meaning to say I'm actually disagreeing with you. And I hold that actually, in this case, Bessel would say that Bezu in this situation, Shanachasim Micheskasim, that the Nachasim would retain its Chazaka, and actually the Gemara explain in whose Chazaka, and what's the reason of this Halacha, but that he's disagreeing, he's not saying that everyone agrees that you would do Yachloiku, because actually Reb Kiva says not true, he would not say Yachloiku, rather Bezil would hold that the one who's Muchzik in it retains the whole thing. Now, Amalei Benazir said to Reb Kiva, Oi, al chalukin regarding the previous Mishnah, which we had already, machlokes b'Shamis Hill on the Mitzdaron. We're in pain that we're not seeing eye to eye, that there is a disagreement in the halacha. El Shabbos, lachlik alein es hashavim. But now you're coming to even say, Rabbi Kiva, that there's a disagreement of b'Shamis Hill, even in what your colleagues had already said that they agree to, and you're coming to make more machlokes? That was based Benazai's comment to Rabbi Kiva. Now, the Gemara asks on the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, which he disagreed with the Tanakhama, and he said that, no, it's not Yachloiko in this case, but rather that it's in the Chazaka of the Muchzik. Asks the Gemara, B'cheskes mi, who is, in this case, of when the house collapsed on the person and on his mother, which the question is, did the mother die first, and therefore the Yosef, and then Yosef's not around, so his brother Reuben gets it? Or did Yosef die first, and then the mother, and then therefore Lavan, her brother, gets it? Who is the Muchzik? So Rabbi Ilama, he says, B'cheskes yir sheheim. It's actually in the possession of the inheritors of the mother, as the Gemara is going to explain later on from Abaya, that since already in that point in time, the mother's tribe had already been muchzik in those possessions, because as long as the woman is alive after her husband passed away, all the money is in her chazaka, which she's from, she takes her the tribe of her father. So even her ksuba, or the additions that she collected from her husband, she already came to her, are already in the chazaka of her father's tribe, which because she takes the patrilineal descent. And therefore, now in this situation, when she dies and her son dies, we don't know who it goes to. It goes to the Yershe Ha'im. Whereas Abzeirah, he disagrees. He says, no, b'cheskes Yershe Ha'ben, it's in the possession of the inheritors of the son. And the reason for that is because from the moment that this woman's husband dies, the son was the one who is the first one in line to inherit his mother more than anyone else. So therefore, in this situation, we would assume that the son was the one that was going to get it, and therefore now that we don't know who died, it's going to be the inheritors of the son are going to get it. That's what Reb Zera originally said. But says the Gemara, Kiselik Reb Zera and Zera went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Kam b'shitasid Reb Ila, he switched, and then took on the opinion of Reb Ila that says that no, it's the Nechasim b'chaskas and Reb Kiva is the Yershe Ha'im. And actually, Kam Rabbah b'shitasid Reb Zera, and Rabbah ended up taking the opinion of Reb Zera, which was that it's b'cheskes Yershe Ha'ben. Now, Amr Reb Zera said that Shema Mino, what you can infer from what happened, this transaction, this transfer, Aviru de Eretz Yisrael Machim, that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise, because when I came up to Eretz Yisrael, then I understood to remove myself from the original opinion I had, and to get to the truth of the halacha, which was that it's b'cheskes yirshe ha'im. So the Gemara asks, what time am I? So what's the reason why Reb Zeir retracted and he said that ultimately, like Reb Ila, that's b'cheskes yirshe ha'im? So Amabai, he says, hoil b'huchze konach lo ba'is ha'shevet. Since that tribe of the mother already had taken possession of those assets before that incident with the house collapse on her and her son, because as we said, she inherited from her husband and she takes on her, meaning although that one would think like the other opinion, which is that no, the son gets it because it was coming from the husband, and the husband's tribe was one tribe, and the son's ultimately going to get it anyway from his mother, so therefore it retains in the tribe of the son, which is the tribe of the father. And that says, Reb Zera, no, he saw the light, that no, because the moment the husband dies, it goes to the wife, and the wife is from a different tribe, and therefore at this point in time, when we don't know what happened, we're going to retain the chazaka of the woman, which is her tribe, and therefore it goes b'cheskes yirshe ha'im, like Rabbi Kiva said, not like the Tanakama, who says, yachleku b'sil would hold, that it retains b'cheskes yirshe ha'im. Now, the Mishnah said that Amalei Ben Azai commented to Rabbi Kiva, ala chalukin on the mitzdarim v'chulu, on those that they already disagree were in pain. You're making more machlekesin? Now, Amar B'Simlai, he makes a comment, he says, Ada Amr, this tells us that Ben Azai talmud chavad Rabbi Kiva haba, that Ben Azai was what's called a student colleague of Rabbi Kiva. In other words, we know that originally he was a student of Rabbi Kiva. But what this tells us is that ultimately he became his colleague. Why? Because the Kamalei Shabbasa, because he used the words that you're coming, and he doesn't use an honorific like when our teacher is coming to. And the fact that he says a you in a directive shows that he wasn't just a regular student, that it was what's called a Tamil Chavar, and that's why, that explains why he used that type of terminology.